This month's theme, Dharma theme, is ethics and values. And today I would like to take as my text for today a very famous koan case called Hyakujo's Fox. But I have a lot to say about it, and I'm not even going to start with it. So I want to tee it up by talking about something else first, a couple of other things first. Those things are the Eightfold Path. I want to start with, kids downstairs are talking about the end of it. I want to talk about the first, very first step, which is right view. I learned a few years ago that there are two parts of right view. I found this really interesting. Classically, the first part of right view is what they call the mundane view. And the second is the super mundane. So the mundane view of right view that we're supposed to work on is the law of karma. The law of cause and effect. The way things work in the world. Here's a quote from Bodhi Bhikkhu has a long thing about this. This is the right view of this mundane view. Beings are owners of their actions, the heirs of their actions. They spring from their actions, are bound to their actions, and are supported by their actions. Whatever deeds they do, good or bad, of those they shall be heirs. So this is really calling us to take a look at our actions, to be aware of our actions. The word karma just means action. I was going to say, I'm so happy that the ethics committee is here. All three of you are here today. Carol and Beth and Joyce is here too, right? Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, maybe you'll find something helpful here. I hope so. This is the law. This is paying attention to karma, which means action. And the Pali Sutras, he says here, whatever deeds you do, good or bad, they do something else interesting, which is talk about wholesome and unwholesome often, rather than good and bad. So what's wholesome for you and what's unwholesome? Wholesome actions are actions that are morally commendable. Could be flexible, that term. Helpful to spiritual growth, beneficial to others and yourself. Unwholesome, morally blameworthy, harmful to spiritual growth, detrimental to others and yourself. The unwholesome ones are rooted in, you guessed it, greed, hatred, and delusion, the three poisons. The wholesome are rooted in generosity, loving kindness, and wisdom. So that mundane view, it seems to me, is an injunction for us to understand the way causes and effects. The way whatever works for whatever wholesome causes, whatever wholesome actions cause wholesome effects. And I think we have to pay attention to that as practitioners and as human beings. The super mundane view is the wisdom of the Four Noble Truths. Now, the Four Noble Truths can be translated in lots of ways and interpreted in lots of ways. But the way I interpret the Four Noble Truths is we all have uneasiness in our lives. Unease is one way to translate suffering. And in order to ease that unease, we have to learn to give up ourselves. We have to learn to give up our desire, our cravings, But for me, I think the primary practice that we do here on the cushion is to give up desire of all sort. Give up desire to give up all our attractions to things and all our aversions to things. Give it up altogether. And that will teach us something. That will teach us about something about who we are. And I think the thing that it really will teach us is that we are both ourself and we have this aspect of ease, this aspect of no self that can be a powerful ally for us. And also teach us the way things really are in the world. Teach us to look at things differently. So that's the super mundane view. And I think that I just found it really interesting that this idea of right view, this classical idea, has both of those aspects in them. Because now I'm going to shift many years later. 800 years later, maybe? Maybe 1,000. To the Mumenkan, the great book of koans, the most famous book of koans. Now we've moved from India to China. And the first two koans, first one is Joshu's moon. I'm getting to the fox. That's the second one. But I'm going to just hang out with Joshu's moon for a minute. Joshu's moon, as I see it, is asks us to really dive into the super mundane, to really try our best. The Joshu's Mu is very briefly. Joshu comes. A monk comes up to Joshu and says, "Does a dog have Buddha nature or not?" Joshu says, "No," which means roughly no. How can that be? Everything has Buddha nature. Well, without going too far, too much more into the case, the idea is that you have to, and Wes, I didn't work with Mu because I had a crazy teacher, but Wes did a classical thing, which is to really work on that Mu, embodying that no, which is beyond yes and no, I would say. And the commentary, you know, this would be for another talk, but the commentary to move to this case, very short case, very long commentary, the commentary is just fantastic. And it, you know, it says, for the practice of Zen, you have to pass through the barriers set up by the ancestral teachers. For marvelous enlightenment, you have to come to the very end of the mind road. If you don't pass this barrier, if you don't come to the end of the mind road, then you're a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses. And it goes on and on, you know, real, and with, don't take it as nothingness, don't take it as being or non-being. It's like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. And gradually you purify yourself by doing that. So it strongly suggests that we have to get beyond ourselves, get beyond being and non-being, get beyond good and bad, get beyond the idea of wholesome or unwholesome. That's Joshu's Mu, that's the first one. And then we get to the second koan, which is Hyakujo's fox. Long koan, very short commentary. And kind of a mirror in another way too. I'm just going to read it to you and then I'll tell you what it's all about. It's a strange story. Whenever Master Hyakujo gave a Dharma talk on Zen, an old man sat with the monks to listen and always withdrew when they did. One day, however, he remained behind, and the master asked, "Who are you standing before me?" The old man said, "I am not a human being. In the past, in the time of Kasho Buddha, I was the head of a monastery. Once a monk asked me, 'Does an enlightened man fall into cause and effect, the law of cause and effect, or not?' I replied, 'He does not.' Because of this answer, I was made to live as a fox for 500 lives. Now I beg you, please say a turning word on my behalf and release me from the fox body. The old man then asked Hyakujo. So the old man now asks Hyakujo, does an enlightened man fall into the law of cause and effect or not? The master said, he does not ignore cause and effect. Hearing this, the old man was at once enlightened. Making a bow to Hyakujo, he said, I have now been released from the fox body, which will be found behind the mountain. I dare to make a request of the master. Please bury me, if you would, as a deceased monk. So the master had the Ino, the chanter, strike the gavel and announce to the monks that there would be a funeral for a deceased monk after the midday meal. The monks wondered, saying, we're all in good health. There isn't a sick monk in the hall. What's this all about? After the meal, the master led the monks to a rock behind the mountain, poked out a dead fox with his staff, and cremated it. Strange story. However, the way I see this story is that it's a kind of response to it responds to what can be a problem in this path, which is to get mixed up between the mundane and the super mundane, and to believe that if you become enlightened, that you might not be fully subject to the laws of cause and effect. Now, that might seem crazy. I mean, everybody's subject to the laws of cause and effect. But there is a feeling that we can get, you know, after you get a great sit, that, or after a retreat, that you come back into the world, that has fixed everything. That I'm now, that things are on the right path now. I don't need to worry so much about everything, about the world of cause and effect. And this koan case, which has been talked about for a long, long time, you know, Dogen has comments on commentary on this, and many other people do too. But it really tells me that I don't care how enlightened you get, you still have to live in the world of cause and effect. Hey, Millie. You looking for your dad? Yeah. I don't care how enlightened you get, you still have to answer your daughter when she calls. And again, that may seem obvious, but I think the important piece here is that we have to, as our practice, pay attention to it. That we have to throw ourselves into understanding cause and effect, understanding what's wholesome and what's not wholesome. We also have to do this super mundane work of losing ourselves. We have to do both. Koan number one, koan number two. And I think this koan teaches us that enlightened wisdom is very good, but it is not enough. It doesn't solve all of our problems. There is this old, I'm sure apocryphal thing that the Buddha said. Everybody, you will always have 108 problems. You strike one off, another one's going to come down. Strike the top five off, five more will come at the bottom of the list. You will always have 108 problems. You just can't avoid that. So don't think, don't even imagine that this practice is going to erase all of those problems. It sort of does, but just temporarily. by doing this super mundane work, we can lose all 108 problems and then come back to them. So it's not, and our practice is not to strike them off the list. And if you're sitting there marking problems off your list, you're not doing this right. The thing is to get underneath, if you want, I don't know, underneath, above, get someplace else than where those 108 problems reside, and then come back to them and see how you approach them and solve them differently and have more flexibility around them. Hyakujo, I think, is a worthwhile messenger for this message. He was a serious practitioner of Zen. There's a famous story, I think it's from a different koan collection, where he, Basso is his teacher. Big Basso means horse face. He's a big guy, big, tall guy. Hyakujo was pretty short. And they were walking together, taking a walk together, and there was a great kerfuffle. And Basso said, "What was that?" to Hyakujo. And Hyakujo said, "Oh, that was the geese leaving the lake." And Basso shakes his head, twists his nose, and says, tells Hyakujo, "I wish you would leave." Hyakujo felt so bad, he cried all night. But the story goes that Basso was trying to teach him. And so Hyakujo talked to another monk, and he says, "Oh, he's just trying to teach you. You have to learn to give yourself up. You have to learn to leave. You have to learn to leave, like those geese." Finally, of course, he did learn that. But Hyakujo is famous for making the monastic code. That was his great legacy to us, as well as this phrase: "A day without food is a day without work is a day without food." He understood cause and effect. He was really interested in it. You see, he understood both sides. He understood the world of zero, and he took that world of cause and effect seriously. That's a responsibility we have as humans, to grow up understanding cause and effect, to understanding what's wholesome and what's not wholesome. That's part of our job too. Zen will not fix that. I don't care how long you sit for, it will not fix that problem. You have to take responsibility for that yourselves. We have to. That's the world of, you could say, the world of ethics. The world of karma, karmic understanding, karmic action. There's another story. I'm out of time, but I'll tell you this at the end. You know, of the sixth patriarch, Huineng, sees a guy sitting zazen and says, "Oh, what are you doing?" And the guy says, "I'm sitting zazen, so I'll become a Buddha. To become a Buddha." And Hyakujo just sits right next to him, picks up a brick, starts rubbing it like this. And the monk said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm polishing this brick to make it a mirror." Just sitting will not bring you to become a Buddha. It has to be more than that. Maybe that's not the greatest story, but at any rate, that's the one that came to mind just now. So no, we have to do more in order to understand this path. We have to both do our no self practice, and we also have to pay attention to the world of cause and effect, to the world of wholesomeness and unwholesomeness. We have to both go beyond good and bad, and we have to live in the world of good and bad. And don't let anybody tell you that good and bad aren't relevant, or that the world, that wholesomeness and unwholesomeness aren't relevant. They're relevant to our lives, and they're relevant to our path as well. Okay, this one I will end with. When Lidun was at Mount Baldy, I was also there, and I think I was the Shoji, and we were building a toilet building, and whoever was putting up the tar paper on the building started at the top with the first row of tar paper and then went to the next row and the next row. She's an architect, you know? And it doesn't even take an architect to figure out that that is not the right way to put on tar paper. But she was practicing. She was just a practicing student. She didn't... What do? Do I say something? Do I stay in the world of no self? Of zero? And let the building just take care of itself? Whatever. Something will happen. Well, she... was she decided to come to me as the Shoji and say, I think they may be putting that on wrong. And I'm happy she did. She decided that was something that was going to be unwholesome for the building. And so she had to step out of that practice in order to do that. And if we're not able to step out of that practice, we have to, see, this is the main point I want to make. We have to be able to go back and forth between those worlds. Those worlds have to, in a sense, we have to inhabit both. And they have to inhabit us. They have to kind of know each other. We have to be able to easily go back and forth between those two worlds. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes. But if we only stick in the world of wholesome and unwholesome, if we only stick in the world of the mundane, we'll never know the freedom of the world of the super mundane. If we just stick in the world of super mundane and always retreat to that, then we'll get rotten buildings and a rotten sangha, and many things will rot. So that's what I want to say. It's exactly 1:30. About the world of cause and effect and the world of that's beyond that. The world of wholesome and unwholesome and the world that's beyond. Those two things have to work together, just like koan number 1 and koan number 2.